I'm Doug Tribou. Today, Michigan Radio is concluding our series, Summer of Rebellion, looking back at Detroit, 1967. The riots of July of 1967 are not at the root of the problems that led to Detroit's decline. However, they do provide an exclamation point in the much larger story about the struggles the city has now faced for decades, including unemployment, poverty, and decaying infrastructure. Joining me now is Professor Robin Boyle, who has taught urban planning at Wayne State University for the past 25 years. He's also done extensive research on Detroit and other Midwestern cities dealing with population declines. Professor Boyle, welcome to Morning Edition on Michigan Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
With the caveats I just mentioned, when you look at Detroit today, what are some of the things you see as a legacy of that time period of the late 1960s?
The legacy of that period is all around us. We also need to look back and understand that Detroit was deeply impacted by the loss of jobs, particularly in the auto industry, both assembly but also manufacturing, that moved out of the city in the 1950s. And that really impacted what I would call in the British term the working class, in that they were no longer able to access the jobs that were allowing them to earn a wage that would bring them into the middle class. That really began to separate the labor market and separate the city. And this really impacted the African American community, who, as we know, found it very difficult to move out because of restrictions and all the history that there was of segregation.
And some people listening might be surprised to hear you talking about that time period of the 50s, but Detroit proper was losing its jobs to some of its neighbors or nearby communities. There were still some boom years there for the auto industry, but maybe not as much right in Detroit proper?
Absolutely. Instead, we tend to think of the great days of the 1960s when, for example, Detroit was competing to bring the Olympics and almost did it. But underneath that, there was a deep-seated change that was happening in the labor market.
At its peak in the 1950s, Detroit had a population of more than 1.8 million people. It was already declining by the time of the riots in 1967. Today, it's down below 700,000, which means you have a city with a lot of excess infrastructure, roads, water systems that are underutilized, industrial complexes that are no longer used. How much did the burden of that excess infrastructure hurt Detroit's chances of recovery over the years?
A lot. And the reason for that is because cities are also political. And the politics, of course, is driven by the currency. And the currency of politics are votes. And people who stayed in the city and remained in the city were seeking, and rightly seeking, the continuation of services and programs that they had been used to in the 1950s through the 60s and wanted these to continue. However, the tax base was eroding. The city could no longer, or was struggling, to pay for the services that were required. By the 1970s, 80s, and particularly into the 1990s, people were leaving to try and find the better quality services that were to be found, guess where, in the suburbs.
To flip that coin, what are the biggest opportunities that are available because of the city's unfulfilled capacity?
I think it does give an opportunity for decision-making that will find the best ways forward. Now, by that, I mean the opportunities to identify certain areas that have got the capacity to come back. And I don't just mean the 7.2 downtown Midtown, which is arguably managing to develop itself with help, but I'm meaning some of these stronger neighborhoods. Many important neighborhoods have got the capacity through existing population, through services, that will have a chance to be part of the new city. I am absolutely convinced that the problems of Detroit and the opportunity for the future of Detroit is actually more connected to jobs and the labor market than it is to, and I'm not trying to belittle property development, but property development can only happen when you have a concentration of economic activity. Cities are really about the concentration, not simply of people, but the concentration of people with jobs.
Obviously, a lot of the problems that arose in 1967 and the years just before it and for many years after it had racial undertones based on the conflicts between the white establishment and African Americans who felt unfairly treated. And it sounds like as the population starts to shift to a majority of African Americans in Detroit, that it's sort of a perfect storm. The housing that they were either able to afford or allowed to buy was in Detroit, but the jobs are leaving as they are building a population of African Americans in the city. Do I have that right?
Well, I think you're beginning to move into a very important area of public policy discussion, and that is the extent to which the racial divisions that were experienced in the city of Detroit are now metropolitan-wide. And this continues to isolate these centers of African-American population. They are still separated from the strength, which is the labor market in the metropolitan area. And we've never, over these 50 years, really been able to weave together the suburbs and the central city. Our history here in the city and in the region is not a good one, even at the most recent failure to consider enacting some form of regional transit, which we decided we didn't want to do. And that was largely because the suburbs chose not to go down that road. We do need a deep policy discussion about how to better connect the central city with the power of the region as a whole.
Robin Boyle is a professor of urban planning at Wayne State University in Detroit. Robin, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.